Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around a while tonight, all right? Just finished watching Keith Olbermann's special comment on his program tonight. He was talking about the interview we featured last night on Politico or by Politico.com, the audio and video to which you can find if you go to Politico.com. I think it's there. And, of course, like any rational human being who might love this country and our institutions and the things that we've tried to stand for, Keith Olbermann almost had a cow. I really thought he was going to lose it. I get that pissed off every night. Television's a different sort of medium. Somebody who sits there and screams and yells and gets very pissed off and red in the face every night like I do would not last on television very long. But it's always, it's always interesting to see Olbermann, and I mean that in a complimentary way, get really, really pissed off. At the very end tonight, he told Bush to just shut up. A couple of things that Olbermann was talking about. First of all, about, the last thing was the golf story that we shared with you last night, where this sick son of a bitch in the White House said that his way of showing solidarity with the families of dead soldiers was to stop playing golf. Which I still can't get my mind around that. But also in the same interview, he told the person from Politico.com that the election of a Democrat would bring another attack on this country. These filthy, putrid bastards just can't give it up, can they? They just can't give it up. It's been a working formula for these scum. I hope that somehow, some way, these people will be brought to trial. By these people, I mean every single one of these people associated with George Bush in a decision-making capacity who took us into this war, this occupation, this invasion, and all the lies that have been perpetrated against us by this filthy administration. I hope I live long enough to see it happen, to see them arrested, tried, convicted, and put in prison for a very long time. Wishful thinking? Yeah, obviously, because it would take extreme action on the part of the Democrats once they take over all three or two branches of government this fall, the executive and the legislative. It would take the Democrats doing what Bill Clinton refused to do about the administration he succeeded, and that was get a very thorough and deep investigation into the Iran-Contra scandal that caused the lives of 300,000 human beings in Central America. And Clinton decided, nah, because Clinton and both Clintons are Republicans, they are corporatists, they are part of that power structure that says, sit down, shut up, America, it's not your game anymore, it belongs to someone else. And they had an opportunity, Bill Clinton did in his administration, to investigate Pappy Bush and put the brakes on and end forever the cesspool that is the Republican Party and Republican politics. But Bill Clinton opted not to do that because Bill Clinton's whole MO is get along, go along. Make me president and I won't make any waves, I promise. Well, the next president of the United States, the next Democrat, who will be elected this November, has a chance to bring some justice to the people who have perpetrated this horrendous, horrendous crime, series of crimes against the American people. Do you think a President Hillary Clinton will do that? Do you think President Barack Obama will do that? Or, third question, third choice, do you think a President Clinton or a President Obama will, how will they put it, for the sake of healing, we're going to look forward, not backward, which means that the same kind of corruption, crime, and destruction of this society will continue unabated. What's your best guess, Truth Seeker? Huh? I know where my money goes. My money goes on the next Democratic president, whoever it is, doing not a goddamn thing whatsoever. Ever. Nothing. So here we are. But to watch Bill Clinton, to watch Keith Olbermann tonight, with righteous anger, righteous indignation, About that interview, and of course it was a couple of, what was it, Kathy, back on May 6th? As far as I know, not that Oberman or MSNBC pays any attention to this. I'm not trying to suggest that they pay any attention to this radio program. But I think we were the first ones who put it out on the air last night, especially the golf thing. It was shocking to me. Somebody sent me the link. One of our listeners sent me the link. And I looked at it and just about lost my supper. I cannot understand why this bastard, this useless, murderous man is still in office. That's something I will never, ever, ever understand. Anybody else would have been removed from office. And at this point would have been tried for crimes against humanity and would be in a prison somewhere. But George Bush skates over the top of this like it doesn't exist, that he doesn't care. I can't think of a president who has committed more crimes, broken more domestic and international laws than this miserable bastard. I can't think of anyone. And he continues. He just continues. And part of the reason, of course, is the fact that the American public was betrayed by the Democrats. We tried, didn't we, in 06? Did we try? Didn't we bust our asses to get enough Democrats in office to at least stop this vicious, murderous juggernaut of Republicans? Didn't we? Huh? Sure we did. And weren't we promised, obliquely, but promised nonetheless, that the new Democratic leadership in the House and the Senate would get rid of these killers, get rid of these thugs, to remove them from office? Didn't we have that impression? Well, shame on us for being suckered. So, what are you going to do this November when it's time for you, Truth Seeker, to step into that voting booth and push your little touch screen or whatever the hell you do in your precinct, knowing full well that what you do in that voting booth is not going to change things one bit? Or do you not believe that? Do you believe otherwise? That there is still hope, still a chance? Do you? I kind of fluctuate back and forth. You know, one night I think, well, okay. The next night I think, oh, Christ, it might as well be over. They won. I don't know anymore. I just know I'm tired of being jacked around. I emotionally, politically, I'm tired of the process. I'm tired of listening to these misguided, dumbass Republicans. What was this I saw on I think it was CNN. They sent somebody into West Virginia to do some, not exit polling necessarily, but to ask people who voted in the West Virginia primary, in the Democratic primary, you know, why did you vote for Hillary? Why did you vote for Barack? And the answers that came back were grotesque. I voted for Hillary because I just am not comfortable with a Muslim being president. But ma'am, he's not a Muslim. Well, that's what he says. We don't believe him. I just, you know, I'm not a bigot. I just don't want to vote for a Muslim. So there you have it. There you have it. All right. When we come back after the break, we will move into the program here. We have another quote from that same interview in which Bush said he showed solidarity with the bereaved families of the troops he's murdered by giving up golf. But we have another one. This is the one where he says once again that a Democratic administration will guarantee another attack on the United States. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Tell the people liberty must go. There's more to gain in war than peace. Let the weapons flow. Destabilize the Middle East. Enrich the CEO. Lie down, people. Lay down your Bill of Rights. tell James Madison.
Comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
21 past the hour. Kay in San Francisco writes, I'm in the middle of my last class of the day and I'm showing the film 13 Days. I don't know whether to scream or cry. In one of the scenes, President Kennedy talks about the lessons he has learned from reading Barbara Tuchman's The Guns of August. I asked the students why they thought this scene was so important, and they responded, because it shows that President Kennedy learned from history. Kennedy's careful consideration of the mistakes made by the world's powers in the period leading up to World War I, and the fact that he actually incorporated much of that information into his handling of the Cuban Missile Crisis, is so far removed from what we've seen dealing with these past 8 years as to make it seem that we are in another universe. While previous presidents considered history and agonized over life and death decisions, this squatter in the White House wrestled with the excruciating decision to give up golf. Okay. Former Republican Senator, Rhode Island Republican Lincoln Chafee, last night called Bush the worst president in U.S. history and added that the occupation of Iraq is the worst foreign tragedy in U.S. history. Lincoln Chafee, Republican from Rhode Island, said Bush deserves to be impeached. It's a shame that Lincoln Chafee is not the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. In 2003, Chafee was the only Republican senator to vote against authorization to attack Iraq. And he was in the Senate for about 7 years, 8 years. His defeat in 2006 was because he was a Republican. He was in the same party as Bush and Cheney. And the Rhode Island voters sent him packing, which is kind of a shame, isn't it? Lincoln Chafee? Chafee is now supporting Barack Obama for president. He said yesterday that the Democrats as well as Republicans have moved too far to the right. Well, Senator Chafee, why don't you re-register? Well, I guess you have. I don't know. Without any apparent bitterness, according to David Swanson, who is the co-founder of After Downing Street, Chafee remarked that while voters got a new Senate and House in 2006, they didn't get any changes in policies out of it. That's right, which is what I was just saying. If for those of us who have seen this movie before, and I've seen it several times now, I really, 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 really question whether or not a President Clinton or a President Obama is going to make a dime's worth of difference from Bush policies. And don't send me emails about the Supreme Court. At this point, the Supreme Court is totally irrelevant. And I'll tell you why. Because no matter who the next president nominates, that person will be confirmed. Period. End of story. And if you are concerned, Mr. or Ms. Democrat, about a Republican like John McCain appointing another Samuel Alito or John Roberts, I have one question for you. Who confirmed those sons of bitches? Who allowed them onto the court? That's right, Democrats. So I'm not interested in your weak-ass argument about a President McCain will appoint right-wing judges. The Supreme Court is full of right-wing judges thanks to Democrats. Democrats. Don't you understand that? Where were you when those two thugs were nominated? And those of us on the left with our little tiny toehold in American media screamed and frothed and foamed about Jesus Christ. This time the Democrats have got to stop this. And they refused when they could have. The Democrats in the Senate could have denied Roberts and Alito their seats on the Supreme Court. They did not. So don't send me your weak, whiny emails about, well, Mike, if there's a President McCain, we'll have Supreme Court justices who will overturn Roe v. Wade or whatever. Stop it. I'm not interested in those emails. Send them to the Senate. Send them to Nancy Pelosi. Tell them to remove this son of a bitch from office and put him on trial while there's still time. Now, as I mentioned last night, we played an excerpt from the interview in which Bush said he was showing solidarity with the families of the soldiers he had murdered by giving up golf. When we come back after this break, we're going to play another bit. This one almost as bad. This is the one where he says if a Democrat's elected and withdraws from Iraq, we'll suffer another attack. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. I'm afraid of American. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of American. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans.
Mike Malloy.
Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused.
25 before the hour. All right. From Mike Allen's interview on Politico, or Mike Allen of Politico.com, the Yahoo online interview with this, with George Bush. And again, we played the excerpt last night about his golf game, that he gave up golf to put himself on a par with grieving families who have lost a child in the war, or a husband, or a father, that George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney created out of thin air. Mike Allen says, Mr. President, turning to the biggest issue of all, Iraq, I wonder if you, various people and various candidates, talk about pulling out next year. If we were to pull out of Iraq next year, Mr. President, what's the worst that could happen?
Doomsday scenario, of course, is that extremists throughout the Middle East would be emboldened, which would eventually lead to another attack on the United States. The biggest issue we face is bigger than Iraq. It's this ideological struggle against cold-blooded killers who will kill people to achieve their political objectives. Iraq just happens to be, you know, a part of this global war. Iraq is a place where Al-Qaeda and other extremists have made their stand. The United States pulling out of Iraq or pulling out of the Middle East or not maintaining a forward presence would send all kinds of signals throughout the Middle East, and it would shake everybody's nerves, and it would embolden the very same people that we're trying to defeat.
Where to begin with this son of a bitch's comment? Lead to another attack on the United States. Look, Chuckle Nuts, you and your filthy Secretary of Defense went through all this in the 2006 election. And as far as saying that we're involved in an ideological struggle against cold-blooded killers who will kill people to achieve their political objectives. You realize, of course, or maybe you don't, that you're describing yourself and your own administration. There was no reason whatsoever to attack Iraq, and you know it. And all of the murderers, all of the neocon thugs in your administration knew it. Everybody knew it. How dare you? How dare you? If I were a praying man, if I believed in a divine presence or a supreme being, I would be on my knees every night praying that you would be placed in the dock, Mr. Bush, and charged with the crimes against humanity that you and your filthy, toxic administration have committed. I would. And as far as Iraq just happens to be a part of the global war, and it's the place where Al-Qaeda and other extremists have made their stand, you psycho, you absolute psycho, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. There was nothing there until you created the conditions to bring them there. If they even, in fact, exist, you murderous, lousy excuse for an American. You did it. I just hope that the next president of the United States, the Democrat, will bring these bastards to justice. It'll take some courage. It'll take determination. But I think the American public is ready for it. God knows the global public is ready for it. And as far as what will happen when the Democrat is elected, Jason Linkins is a political reporter at Huffington Post. And he has a piece that went up yesterday, I believe. He writes about this ongoing exploration of the documents related to the Pentagon's so-called message force multipliers. Those former military, high-ranking military shills, pimps for the Bush administration, that in conjunction with television networks, over-the-air and cable, sold the American public an ongoing series of lies about the situation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, the New York Times uncovered some of this stuff, and through, of all things, the Freedom of Information Act. Even these killers in the White House are still dumber than hog snot. There is enough evidence laying around that they haven't destroyed to send them all to prison for a long time. That's why I say I hope the next Democratic president and Democratic Congress will reactivate the special prosecutor law and bring these pigs to justice. But continuing to look through these documents, what has been unearthed is a clip of former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld suggesting that America, having voted the Democrats back into congressional power, that America could benefit from another terrorist attack. And he made these comments in the presence of the very same military analysts who went on to provide commentary and analysis for CNN and MSNBC and Fox and NBC, ABC, and CBS on the Iraq War. Now, you can listen to it. We listened to the tape, and it's or the recording, not the tape, the digital recording, and it's just, do you still have it? Do you want to try to play it? It's lousy reproduction here. You can hear it yourself by going to the HuffingtonPost.com. Do a search for Jason Linkins, L-I-N-K-I-N-S, Jason Linkins, L-I-N-K-I-N-S. And in the second paragraph, you'll find a link to this discussion. This is Rumsfeld talking with these retired flag rank, some of the military officers who were pimps and whores and pigs for this Bush crime family, to get on the air on television and convince us that what we were doing in Iraq was the good and proper thing to do, and to continue to contribute, based on their analysis, our fathers and sons and brothers and mothers and daughters to this filthy, filthy war that these generals and colonels were profiting from. I mean, if there is a hell, and sometimes I hope my atheism gets my ass condemned to hell, because if there is a hell, the one thrill I will have as I burn for eternity is to see these sons of bitches burning in the pit next door. See if you can understand some of what you're going to hear on this tape. Rumsfeld's damning comment comes about what, Kathy? How far into it? About 20, 25 seconds? All right, listen to this.
Until it happens.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. I mean, this president's pretty much a victim of success. We haven't had an attack here in 5 years. The perception of the threat is so low in the society that it's not surprising that the behavior pattern reflects a low threat assessment. And the same thing is in Europe. There's a low threat perception. Correction for that, I suppose, is an attack.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Let me read it to you. Maybe you could hear some of that. Lieutenant General Michael DeLong, in this is a luncheon with the pigs, the former military pigs, the traitors to the United States. These are former military men who disgrace their uniform. They might as well just take off their uniforms and urinate all over them, all over the flag, all over the Constitution, all over the people that they commanded in battle and sent to their deaths. That's how vile, that's how rotten and filthy these so-called commanders are, sitting there with Rumsfeld. And nobody stood up during this conversation and said, Rumsfeld, you psychopathic pig, what are you saying? Not one of these officers did that, former officers, because there was too much money to be made from the military-industrial corporatist complex for them to say a word. The most extraordinary part of the luncheon is the contempt that the people eating lunch with the pig Rumsfeld show toward the American people for having the absolute goddamn temerity to vote the Democrats back into power. Lieutenant General Michael DeLong bemoans the lack of, quote, sympathetic ears, end quote, on Capitol Hill, when the Democrats got the thin majority that they have. When General DeLong says that, Rumsfeld offers that the American people lack, quote, the maturity to recognize the seriousness of the threats, end quote. Threats that Rumsfeld and Cheney and Chertoff and every one of these sons of bitches manufactured out of thin air. And yet they sit there. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give you that quote that was a little bit hard to hear. This is vile stuff. This is disgusting. This is the kind of stuff that these bastards should be frog marched out of the White House or wherever they are now and put on trial. They need to be tried for crimes against humanity.
Never, everybody knows that it's me or you.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
So this luncheon that apparently some somebody who is interested in preserving history or else eventually bringing these war criminals to trial, there was a recording made of this luncheon, and we tried to play it for a little bit there, but the quality really sucked. Lieutenant General Michael DeLong sits there and pisses and moans about the lack of what he calls sympathetic ears on Capitol Hill once the Democrats got power. I don't know what this disgrace to the uniform of the United States military, I don't know what he was talking about. Lack of sympathetic ears. Was he not getting enough money? Was he not getting enough wars? I don't know what Michael DeLong's combat experience is, but I have a feeling it was limited and that he was a desk jockey rather than somebody who had to go out and kill or be killed. But anyway, DeLong whines about no sympathetic ears on Capitol Hill, and Rumsfeld suggests that the American people, that would be you and me, lack what Rumsfeld calls the maturity to recognize the seriousness of the threats. That's a quote. Now, the threats, of course, were engineered and made up out of smoke and mirrors. Every single threat against this country, except the one that did result in an attack on this country, was treated by the Bush crime family, or was engineered, made up by the Bush crime family. As far as the attack on September 11th, that, either directly or indirectly, was engineered by the Bush crime family. So here we are. Rumsfeld, what should we do to get over the fact that the American people have shown their utter contempt for these Nazis by voting the Democrats back in? Well, according to Rumsfeld, quote, the correction for that, I suppose, is another attack. So then General DeLong says, politically, what are the challenges? Because you're not going to have a lot of sympathetic ears up there, referring to Congress. Rumsfeld, quote, that's what I was just going to say. This president's pretty much a victim of success. We haven't had an attack in 5 years. The perception of the threat is so low in this society that it's not surprising that the behavior pattern, that would be ours, reflects a low threat assessment. The same things in Europe. There's a low threat perception. The correction for that, I suppose, is an attack. And when that happens, then everyone gets energized for another inaudible. And it's a shame we don't have the maturity to recognize the seriousness of the threats, the lethality, the carnage that can be imposed on our society is so real and so present and so serious that you'd think we'd be able to understand it. But as a society, the longer you get away from 9/11, the less... And this man was the Secretary of Defense. So, it's been less than a week since the Department of Defense did a document dump on their program to use retired military analysts as surrogates on network and cable news shows to pimp the administration line on the Iraq War. And they did that in order to confuse the people at New York Times who were trying to use the Freedom of Information Act. Well, we'll just give them millions of pages of documents and the dumb bastards won't be able to figure anything out. Surprise, surprise, you jerkwads. Of course they figured it out and they put it on the front page of the New York Times. Now, at Talking Points Memo or TPM.com, Joshua Micah Marshall's website, Talking Points Memo, a thread has been opened for any of you who want to sift through the material and see what you can find. And so far, readers, according to Jason Lincoln's here, readers over at TPM have unearthed a number of noteworthy finds, of which this audio recording of this luncheon is perhaps the most astounding. So it is folks like you and me who are digging through all these documents and coming up with more truth about the murderous nature of these pigs that have destroyed America and are continuing to destroy it, the frontmen for the corporations who don't give a goddamn if you live or die, or if your daughter or your son or your grandmammy, they don't care. They don't care. as long as the profit is there, as long as the motivation to attack another country for the natural resources is there, these sons of bitches will do it. And they'll do it to the extent that they will make up stuff and sell it to the American people by using retired military officers, and I hate to use that term, a decent, respectful military officer who understands what he or she was about when they took the oath to protect and defend the Constitution, would have said to these corporations and these networks to go F themselves. That's what they would have done. But the generals who appeared as whores and pimps, no offense to sex workers, on these networks over the past 5 years are a disgrace. They're like Oliver North, only worse. Oliver North only got to lieutenant colonel. Some of these people were generals. I mean, these people are as much responsible for mega death as were the German high command. I'm not talking about the ones who engineered the Holocaust. I'm talking about the generals who engineered a policy of absolute defeat for the German military, who led the people into battle after battle where they were crushed, who would not accept the truth that the country, Germany, was being led by a madman. The only difference is these generals, these flag rank officers who became pimps for the war industry, pimps, absolute pimps, were nothing but a filthy disgrace to the Constitution and the flag that they swore to protect and defend. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. David of Denver sent me a quick email here about this general, Michael DeLong, the one who was having cocktails with Rumsfeld when Rumsfeld said, well, maybe what they need is another attack. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. On the PBS documentary, Bush's War, it was General DeLong, again, bragging about his margarita-making ability. And he mentioned how he and General Tommy Franks sat and drank margaritas while they decided whether or not to go into the war in Iraq. Since that's the case, and apparently, according to David, it's on videotape, would their decision be considered IUI, invasion under the influence? I hate these people. I can't put into words how much I have more contempt for the people who have led this country for the past 7 years, and a large chunk of them are high-ranking military officers who turned out to be nothing but pimps. I have more contempt for these people than I do, I think, for the leaders of military regimes in other parts of the world. And I guess it's because they claim to be Americans, and they have made it very clear that they would piss on this country in a heartbeat if the price were right. And so many of them have. It's horrifying. Whether they were civilians or military, when you stop and think of the people who have treated the United States and our people and our laws and our institutions and our documents with so much contempt. I can't think of another, another administration in the history of the U.S. that has done this. These people put themselves right up in the ranks of any filthy little tin-horn military authoritarian dictator anywhere on earth. These bastards are like the generals in Burma. They're like the thugs in North Korea. They're like the maniacs who ran the Kremlin all those years. Are they responsible for as much death? Maybe not quite as much. Just the utter contempt for these people. It's just... Alice in Arkansas wrote in. She says she was listening to John Edwards endorse Obama today. And she writes, the American people need to hear what Edwards says the way he says it. I've never heard Obama speak that simply, clearly, and fearlessly, or with such passion. That's always been my problem, Alice writes, with Obama. I don't feel any passion. I hear the words he's saying, but he's saying them in a manner that makes me question how much he's truly invested in them. And I must also say I feel that from Clinton. I've always felt the passion from Edwards, and that's why I'm crying, because he really should be the Democratic candidate and Obama his vice president. The most passion I've heard from Obama was when he repudiated Reverend Wright. While everyone seemed to write off Wright's handling of the National Press Club as somehow inappropriate and crazed, I felt he handled the so-called press with the appropriate amount of contempt they so richly deserve. The man and his church have been savaged by the so-called press. His life has been threatened. His church has received bomb threats. And now they're going after Reverend Moss, the new pastor at Trinity. I just didn't feel his response to all that was so crazed. And then I realized just how far outside the dominant culture I have drifted. So now I'm going to go driving. It's been a tough spring here in the Ozarks. Two so-called once-in-a-100-year floods in a month, tornadoes, my house was hit by lightning, and not only fried my computer's motherboard, but fried my brain's motherboard as well. Drifting too far from shore, Alice in Arkansas. Man, I hear you, Alice. Mike writes in, hello, Mike, just heard part of Hillary Clinton's speech to a room full of screaming supporters in West Virginia after her victory. What jumped out at me was when she said, I believe in our case. West Virginia has made our case much stronger. She says our case twice within a few moments with a lot of emphasis on our. As a black American, okay, my white ancestors brought my black ancestors to this country. But in accordance to the Mississippi rule, all it takes is one drop of African blood to make a person black. Anyway, so as I was saying, as a black American, when I heard her say those words, I found myself looking over my shoulder. I'm serious. If I was in that room, I would have made my way to the exit very quickly, hopefully not attracting too much attention as I did, because what I heard her say was something along the lines of, "Wake up, white people!" And when white people in America start talking like that, it can only mean trouble for the rest of us. Please listen to that part of her speech. Randy played it and didn't say anything about it. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's something that only a black man in America can hear. I don't know. But I really hope she sits down soon, because honestly, I would have a very, very difficult time voting for her and would probably just stay home if she's the choice. Now, this email, we have a place where you can write whatever you want to write, system@novamradio.com. And this was sent to me by one of our staff. And I don't know why, but it's a copy of what the person wrote. But the name, where it says from, has been deleted. So all I have here is the email. I don't have the name of the person or the. But because it came from inside Nova M, I believe that, you know, it's legit. So I'm going to read it. It says, I'm a very upset founding member, and here's why. All the hosts at Nova M have treated Hillary Clinton, a Democrat, with complete disrespect, both on the air and via blogs. I looked to Nova M initially as a place to find truth and fairness in our unity, in utter disgust toward the Republican Party. But treating Senator Clinton in the manner you have is completely objectionable to one like me who still has to make up her mind. I have no problem with your endorsing Obama. Just go ahead and do so. Because without doing so, the shilling your hosts are doing is nothing more honorable and respectful than the propaganda right-wing hate talk radio generates. You are becoming what you've spurned, and if that... And it's that point that becomes an issue for me. All Obama shillers are going to be in a precarious position if things go the way it appears to be, thanks to the lack of mainstream media. Here's what your issue is going to be. After a season of ugly shilling for Obama and hate speech toward Clinton, you think that those who don't support him are going to turn around and accept fake olive branches as you beg the rest of us Democrats to unify around Obama? Because if so, you have a very big surprise coming in November. Trust me, we are not going to forget what you and the mainstream media have done to us with all the hatred being shown to Mrs. Clinton. If you plan to continue with the daily bashing of Clinton, then you need to officially endorse Obama. Because if you don't, you're going to be viewed as credible as those who are doing what you're doing, except in the right-wing media. And if it's, I guess it means if it's going to continue to go on, as a founding member, I need to cancel my membership. You have a right to support him, but you don't have a right to be disingenuous by assuming that all your listeners are on board with the Obama camp. That's a matter of ethics. Here's the irony. I wasn't even a Clinton supporter until I've seen the way she's being treated, and I'm not alone in my anger toward Nova M being a sponsor of hate speech? You can't have it both ways. Please let me know what your intention. I'm waiting until the end of the week to decide whether I can continue to pay for a service I don't want. I want to hear both sides of the story. Yes, I am aware that talk show hosts are editorializing for the most part, which is fine. I just don't want to pay to have to hear it, unless you're endorsing him. That then becomes a whole different story. I don't understand this. The word shilling, if I'm a shill for Barack Obama, I'll be goddamned, because I'm not. I don't speak for the other hosts. As far as Nova M hosts, there's only two of us. There's only Randy Rhodes and me. So the writer says all the hosts at Nova M have treated Hillary Clinton with complete disrespect. I beg to differ with you, whoever you are. I have made the point over and over and over again. I don't give a damn what her name is or what she's about. I have looked at her record, and it stinks. It stinks. It's filthy. She's a Republican. I would no more vote for her than I would vote for a goddamn dog. The hour. Yeah, we get weird mail. I usually get it right here, but this went to system@novamradio.com, which I don't understand, because it'd been very simple if whoever wrote this feels that all the hosts at Nova M have treated Hillary Clinton with complete disrespect. All the hosts at Nova M consists of two people. And Randy's only been with us, what, Kathy, a month? So, I don't know. It just seems to me that if somebody has a complaint about what I say on this program or what Randy says, send it directly to us. What the hell? I'll do whatever you want. It really doesn't matter. But to refer to me, as this writer did, as an Obama shiller, someone shilling for Obama, is ludicrous. And for this writer to suggest that I use hate speech toward Clinton is ludicrous. Chris Matthews may use hate speech on MSNBC towards Hillary, but I don't. I think she is a threat to Democratic Party principles. I think she is a shill for corporate America. Take a look at the people who have made the big contributions to her campaign back when they still thought she could win. The defense establishment, the military-industrial complex, just on and on and on. And I've said this before, to Obama supporters and Hillary supporters, it doesn't matter to me if you want to stay home or get your bloomers in a wad over something, some criticism you've heard of these two candidates. I don't know what Randy does. I'm sure Randy does the same thing that I do. She bases her criticism on fact. I don't get on the air and say, I don't like Hillary Clinton because her breath stinks. I don't like Hillary Clinton because I don't like her hairdo or because she's a woman. I've said it before, over and over and over again. Her policies are anti-American. Take a look at her voting record. Take a look at her lies. Take a look at her deceits. I have had that in the Oval Office now for the past 27 years, and I'm sick of it. So whoever wrote this, how dare you insinuate that I'm a shill for Barack Obama? To hell with you for making that statement. I'm not a shill for anybody. Man. Now I'm angry. Now I'm angry. Oh, so what? Our military affairs correspondent, Sharon, sent this to me. John McCain's war cabinet. These are the people advising McCain. So for you whiny asses who can't take an ass whipping because you voted, you're backed Hillary Clinton and she's been defeated, or you whiny asses who can't take an ass whipping because you backed Barack Obama and he gets his ass whipped, whichever way it turns out. Oh, and by the way, regarding Hillary, Hillary now is pretending as though the delegates in Michigan and Florida are hers. In Michigan, Barack Obama's name wasn't even on the ballot. That's like Soviet Russia. That's whoever wrote this letter, do you understand what you're saying? You're saying that your sainted Hillary Clinton can claim the delegates from an election where the only name on the ballot was hers. For Christ's sake, that sounds like Khrushchev. He used to get 99.9% of the votes, too. And as far as Florida is concerned, yeah, both their names are on the ballot. And they were told not to campaign there, so nobody got a chance to compare the records of these two candidates. And the voters didn't take it seriously. So now Hillary Clinton is walking around the political landscape acting as though the delegates from Florida and Michigan are hers. Well, tell you what, Senator, go ahead and take them. You still are not going to get the nomination.
Can't be sweethearts. There's much you can do. Please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Oh, honey, though our friendship ceases from now on. And listen, if you can't say anything real nice, it's better not to talk at all, is my advice. We're parting, you go your way, I'll go my way.
Neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, John McCain's War Cabinet. This was sent to us by a military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy. And it's from Think Progress. .org if you want to check it out. McCain's foreign policy offers a future of numerous U.S. military inventions in the name of promoting American values. What McCain said about 100 years in Iraq, so what? McCain is a warmonger. McCain has a lot of unresolved issues that occurred while he was involved in the war in Southeast Asia 40 years ago. And some of those issues have to do with his treatment as a POW and how he responded to that treatment. So if you want more war, if you want a universal draft, if you want the slaughter to continue until the United States is reduced to a whimpering giant with our hands full of nuclear weapons threatening everybody on Earth, then go ahead and vote for McCain. Anyway, McCain has assembled this team of foreign policy advisors who believe the same as he does in the relentless, unexplained, no apologies, no explanations use of American military power whenever and wherever we damn well please. Here's some of those advisors. The director of foreign policy and national security is Randy Schuneman, former congressional aide to Trent Lott and Bob Dole, co-founder, president, and executive director of the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq. He was one of the drafters of the 1998 Iraq Liberation Act, project director at the Project for New American Century, PNAC. In 1998, founded a firm which lobbied on behalf of the NRA and later the government of former Soviet bloc state Georgia, benefiting from the invasion of Iraq, claims to have authored McCain's concept of rogue state rollback, known as McCain's bulldog, for his attacks on McCain's detractors. This guy looks like he's about 30 years old and would kill you in a heartbeat. A quote from him, John McCain does not believe in timetables or deadlines. Next, Max Boot, foreign policy advisor, former Wall Street Journal editor, current senior fellow for national security studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Boot advocates an imperial role for the U.S. similar to the British Empire, believes that the U.S. needs a colonial office inspired by the British system in India in order to better fulfill its role of transforming the world, advocate of a sort of foreign legion wherein immigrants and other non-citizens would receive citizenship in exchange for U.S. military service. These are sick sons of bitches. They really are. James Woolsey, who will be the Energy and National Security Advisor, former head of the CIA, subscribes to the so-called World War IV formulation, which the Cold War was World War III, and believes that the United States has been at war with Islamists since 1979 when they seized our hostages in Tehran. Tell you what, you dumb bastard, go back to 1953 when we overthrew their government and installed the Shah. Oh, no, that's old stuff. James Woolsey suggested during an interview on September 12, 2001, September 12, 2001, that Iraq had sponsored the 9/11 attacks, and he also attempted to exhume the discredited idea that Iraq was behind the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Jesus. Bill Kristol, you know who this neocon bastard is. Prominent neoconservative, founder and editor of the Weekly Standard, co-founder and chairman of PNAC, currently New York Times columnist, advocates stronger American leadership through the unilateral use of force, co-author of a book strenuously arguing for the invasion of Iraq, advocates war with Iran. Oh, Jesus. Robert Kagan, informal foreign policy advisor. After serving as advisor to Congressman Jack Kemp in 83 and working as a speechwriter for Schultz, Secretary of State Schultz, in 1985, Kagan was chosen by Elliot Abrams to head the Office of Public Diplomacy, whose mission was to create support for the Nicaraguan Contra rebels. That was a group set up by the CIA. You know that. Kagan was a co-founder of PNAC, currently a senior associate at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Oh, God. Mark Salter, senior advisor, McCain's former chief of staff, co-writer of McCain's books. Salter worked for Jean Kirkpatrick when she was UN ambassador, and later when she moved to the American Enterprise Institute. Blah, blah, blah. John Bolton, this psychotic, rabid son of a bitch, once again, former U.S. diplomat, senior vice president for public policy research, American Enterprise Institute, member of the PNAC, one of the signers of the January 1998 PNAC letter sent to Clinton urging him to invade Iraq. Blah, blah, blah. Gary Schmidt, foreign policy. These are all on John McCain's foreign policy team. Murderers, every single one of these people is drenched in blood. Gary Schmidt, American Enterprise Institute fellow and one of the original signatories to PNAC, co-author with Abram Shulsky of a book on the political thought of Leo Strauss as applied to intelligence gathering, subscribes to the Straussian view that, quote, deception is the norm in political life. End quote. On October 29th, 01, after the attack on this country engineered by the Bush crime family, this thug, Gary Schmidt, said in the Weekly Standard, quote, in short, Iraq is both equipped with dangerous weapons and out to get the United States. Ralph Peters, informal national security advisor to John McCain. Background, he's a retired U.S. lieutenant colonel, novelist, op-ed writer, called Muqtada al-Sadr our mortal enemy, supports the surge, blah, blah, blah. Joe Lieberman, you know who this rat bastard is, one of the strongest Iraq war supporters in Congress, former Democrat. He said on March 16th of this year, Hillary Clinton's and Barack Obama's positions on Iraq represent a retreat, which would be surrender. So these are some of the men around John McCain. So I would just say again, and I'll say it over and over again, for you whiny-ass Democrats who are either Clinton supporters or Barack Obama supporters, and you know, you wet your pants because you don't think your candidate's going to make it, and you never vote for that bitch Hillary, and you never vote for that bastard Barack. But you'll show them. You'll show them. You'll go vote for McCain. Really? Is that what you want to do? Okay. You then are as bad as these thugs are. Maybe worse, because you present yourself as a Democrat, but you're going to slink off like some three-year-old if your candidate doesn't make it, and vote for McCain? Really? Okay, go ahead. And some of you have the audacity to write to me and say I'm a shill for Barack Obama, when what you are doing with your attitude about these two Democrats who are neither progressive nor liberal, but they happen to be Democrats. You accuse me of shilling for Barack Obama, and you are in fact shilling for John McCain. How dare you? You shouldn't even be listening to this program. You're right. Go away. If you find what is said on this program so offensive, Hillary Clinton is no more capable of being a progressive or a liberal president of the United States than William Crystal is. Maybe even worse. She's a religious wacko. She is a tool of the military-industrial establishment. She will do whatever corporate America tells her to do. And as far as Supreme Court appointees, you're not serious, are you, when you suggest that Hillary Clinton would appoint a liberal or a progressive to the U.S. Supreme Court? You're not serious, are you? I guess you are. Hillary Clinton is so far right, she would make Bill Clinton look like a liberal, and that really takes some doing. Barack Obama is another corporate candidate. I keep saying over and over again that if we've got to roll the dice one more time, let's roll it on the guy who is a part of this new generation, not these retreads like Hillary Clinton or John McCain, but let's roll the dice, if we're going to roll it again, on somebody who does bring some inspiration into what has become of our political system. Huh? Or don't you have the courage to do that?
Microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy.
So, you talk about another exercise in idiocy or futility. Senate Democrats yesterday introduced legislation to stop a U.S. arms sale to Saudi Arabia worth about $1.5 billion. Now, in and of itself, that's good. We should no more be sending weaponry to other countries than we should be cutting our own throats, but that's a whole different story, and I digress. This was a tactic engineered by Senate Democrats aimed at pressuring the Saudis to increase its oil output. So Chuck Schumer, Senator Charles Schumer, a New York Democrat, said, quote, "We are saying that we need real relief and we need it quickly. Saudi Arabia needs our arms, but we need them to cooperate and not strangle American consumers." So that's the that's what the Democrats are planning. No talk here of reducing energy dependence. No talk of conservation of energy. No talk of alternative fuel systems or supplies. This crazy son of a bitch Schumer says, okay, Saudis, if you don't dig more oil out of your sand, we're not going to sell you any more guns and booms and airplanes and jets and bombs. That's how sick the Democratic Party leadership has become. That's how sick. Now, one of our listeners in Japan, Ward, saw the same story. And he says this kind of attitude upsets him for a lot of reasons. He doesn't say upsets him. He uses a colloquialism that has to do with testicles. But let's just leave it at upsets him. For a lot of reasons, he says, here are a few. One, the Saudis may or may not have more oil to produce, but even if they do, it isn't much. Much of the world's oil fields have peaked already, including the U.S., the U.K., Norway, Indonesia, Russia, possibly Mexico, and others. It is quite possible that Saudis can't produce more. Two, The USA is the most wasteful country on earth. Does Schumer know that if the per capita energy use in the U.S. were the same as in Japan or Europe, that the U.S. could still be a net exporter of oil? Or that the waste of the U.S. electric grid, just the waste, could power all of Japan? 3. Does Chuck Schumer and other Democrats in Congress know that we are facing a global crisis with climate change, that the CO2 in the atmosphere is up one-third more in the last year than climatologists expected, is higher than it has been in 650,000 years? That's before our species even evolved, Chuck. And the Japanese scientists who have a satellite that monitors the poles are warning of a record North Polar ice melt this summer. Hello? Anybody home, Schumer? Let's say OPEC can and does open the spigots. What will you do later when the sea level rises 50 feet due to climate change? Oh, you'll be dead by then. 4. The issue is not OPEC production, it is American waste and pollution. By blaming the Saudis, from whom, incidentally, the U.S. only gets about 14% of its imported oil, by blaming the Saudis, Schumer is trying to divert attention from the lack of Democratic leadership in Congress to develop solar and wind energy, and more importantly, to stop building highways and start building electric railways, stop giving breaks to big oil, make real demands on auto efficiency, which the rest of the industrialized world has already done, while also implementing measures whereby all citizens chip in, such as lower speed limits, carpooling, encouraging bicycles and public transportation. 5. Why doesn't Schumer ask the number one supplier of oil to the U.S. to do more? Why not ask them? That would be Canada. Or how about number two? Mexico. Or number three would be Mexico. Why? Because it's all posturing and horse hockey on Schumer's part. That's why. And as you point out every day, Mike, we are already neck deep in horse hockey from both the Republicans and the Democrats these days. 6. Does Schumer know that Germany is on the road to 100% renewable energy by 2020, as is Sweden? That Spain already gets 40% of its electricity from wind and has a booming wind turbine industry as a result as well? Or that Japan produces enough solar photovoltaic panels each year to produce energy equivalent to 4 nuclear reactors? So why isn't the U.S. doing any of this? I'm sick of it, Ward writes. All this kind of rhetoric does is protect big oil and the status quo and give lame bastards like Schumer an excuse for not doing the right thing. When will the Democrats do the right thing? I don't expect it of Republicans. I demand it of Democrats. Ward. Well, thank you, Ward. That was certainly more eloquent than what I had to say about it. Yeah, so there goes Schumer. There he goes. Well, you Saudis, you better start pumping more oil or we're going to take away your bombers and your jet fighters and your bunker buster bombs and your RPGs and your hand grenades and your bullets and your missiles and your warheads. We'll show you. We'll show you. You funny-looking geeks. Pump more oil. We're American, goddammit.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Malloy here on the NOVEM Radio Network. Prairie 2 sent me a quick email here. Lieutenant General DeLong, the one who is on that scratchy audio recording with Rumsfeld talking about what this country needs is another terrorist attack. DeLong, according to Prairie 2, has been spending his retirement as a vice president for a Saudi company that has a $1.5 billion contract to provide unspecified services for CENTCOM, for Central Command. Why aren't people like that shamed? Well, they don't have any shame, I guess. Somebody who wore the uniform of the United States military at the second or third highest rank possible, lieutenant general, and hangs out with the Saudis, who practice Wahhabism, which is real Islamic nutball terrorism. So this guy is consorting with an enemy of the United States by definition of his former commander-in-chief. And he takes money from them. He is a whore. No offense to real prostitutes. Michael DeLong is a punk whore who is willing to take money from the Saudis, knowing full well that 15 of the 19 bombers who came to this country on September 11, 2001 were also Saudis. These are military men? Oh my God. All right, let's do some phone. Oh, no, you're kidding. All right, let's do some phone calls. John is calling from San Francisco. John, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, before I get to my main point, I'd like to explain an area where I think you're a little bit hypocritical. Now, I've done a lot of study of the Mau Mau insurgency against the British in Kenya and a lot of research on the Hindu nationalists who throughout the British. Now, both of these movements...
Well, wait, John, take a deep breath. You're not going to just rattle on. I know you want to get to a point where you're going to show that I'm an idiot, but before you get there... John...
I don't think you're
Don't start rattling on. Now, explain to us what the Mau Mau were about.
The Mau Mau were about Kenyans controlling Kenya and not imperialists from Britain.
Ah!
And they believed in spooks in the sky, to use your phrase. Now, isn't a little bit...
Wait, the British did?
No, the Kenyans were practiced a shamanistic...
Well, the British had an official government church. It's called the Church of England. What are you talking about? Now, if you're going to use the term spooks in the sky, let's be fair and balanced, John, okay? Now, go ahead.
Okay. Now, they were suppressing this in the name of the Western rationalist paradigm.
What?
Which the Church of England is a very materialistic church.
John, what's the point of your phone call?
Okay, the point is that your rationalistic viewpoint is a form of racism because you're saying that Western ideas of secularism are superior to those of traditionalist culture.
When did I ever say that?
You say that all
I
the time.
I said I don't believe in religious garbage. I don't care what kind it is. I don't care if you're talking about spooks that live on top of Mount Kilimanjaro or spooks that live inside your head. John, what's your point?
Well, then you're saying, I'm trying to find out if you're, what your point is. Is Western rationalism superior to Hinduism?
What has that got to do with anything on this program?
Would you answer that question? Do you believe Western rationalism is more?
What has that got to do with anything on this program? You have not called the Reverend Hagee's program. You are talking to a political talk show host. What is the point of your phone call?
The point is that people who say that Western rationalists theories are superior to Hinduism.
Who said that?
You do.
No, I don't. I said I don't believe religion. I'm an atheist. I don't give a goddamn if it's Hinduism, shamanism, or whatever ism you believe in. Now, John, get off my program. I gave you enough time to make your point. Hindu rationalism is opposed to Furculary Macapumo.
I don't think I've ever
heard you say.
Where
do these people come from?
Anything about Western rationalism being superior to shamanism
my
or
God?
I don't know if they listen to your show.
No, no. This guy, this is one of those right-wing nutballs who sits there and waits until he gets an open line on this program, which is infrequent, and then calls in with that kind of garbage. I don't give a damn about Hinduism versus Western rationalism. I think all religions suck. Is that not clear, John? I don't care what religion it is. They're all garbage, nonsense. That's just my opinion.
Well, I've studied comparative religions, and the Mau Mau in Central Africa during the Kenyan uprising against British imperialism, and oh, for Christ's sake.
Ron is calling from Ambler, PA, listening on the internet.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Ron.
You covered a lot of territory tonight so far.
Yeah.
And I guess the one thing I really want to say is that Keith Olbermann, I mean, I'm sometimes on the fence with him. I watched that video tonight.
Uh-huh. You mean his special comment?
Yeah, his special comment, you know, where he... kind of danced around in the end of like what do they call them, the fleeting expletive about like shut the hell up,
yeah, rather than shut the F up.
Yeah, right.
I would have loved.
You could tell it was right there on the edge of his lip.
I would have loved to see him do it. His career went out the window, and the suits at MSNBC would have hit the 3 or 4 second dump button that they usually have on those programs, and Olbermann would be back doing sports on Fox. But, as far as Olbermann goes, I like his program. I can remember 3 or 4 years ago saying to people, you got to see this new show on MSNBC. Keith Olbermann, he's really good. Well, obviously the suits at MSNBC have pulled out the stops and told him to be as radical as he wants. Because when you have a TV commentator who sits there at the end of his statement and says, so the next time, Mr. Bush, shut the hell up! That's licensed to do just damn near whatever you want to do.
It's just this thing, though. It's like I can't believe the passivity of people, and you know that we have to have someone like a Keith Olbermann to sort of like speak our conscience to us. It's like, yeah, the guy's the person who's running whatever he's doing in D.C. has such a juvenile state of mind. It's unfathomable.
Now, who has a juvenile state of mind?
I would say Mr. Bush does.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He really is. He's like a snotty sixth grader on a playground, and the rest of the world and America has to tolerate this this ADD child. It's just incredible, and he's in a position of extreme power. I wonder who keeps track of the so-called football, the briefcase that has the nuclear launch codes. I wonder who has control of that. Remember when Nixon was having his meltdown, what's his name? Nixon's Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he passed, according to Woodward in one of those books about the meltdown of Nixon, word went out from Kissinger, who was, I guess, Secretary of State at the time, to the military that any order, any directive from Nixon that had in it in the same sentence the words attack or nuclear weapons, they were to ignore it and immediately give the message to him, Kissinger. So I would imagine that somebody has put the same directive in for this jerk, George Bush. Because, you know, he's always said, Ron, he's the decider, right?
Yeah, whatever. Thanks,
right.
Mike.
Thank you. Take care, man. Appreciate you checking in, Ron. We'll be back after the break.
Trying
Because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
21 past the hour. Cindy writes in, where are the freaks coming from? I guess in relation to that last caller, or the caller before. Cindy writes, their own stupid shows are all but over. I think, quite frankly, they have grown weary of the sixth grade repetitions of Rush Limbaugh, so they tune around and look for liberal shows with an eye toward fighting with us. Just tell them that this audience does not want to sit here and listen to the conservatives because we are angry at them for destroying the country. It is their fault. They caused these problems. So why should they get the floor or the microphone, Cindy? Well, normally I don't, but when I get somebody who wants to accuse me of hypocrisy or racism or whatever, I'm curious. First of all, I'm curious as to whether or not they can put together a coherent sentence. Secondly, I wonder if they base their criticism on something I've said, in which case, let's have at it. Tell me what it is, and let's discuss it. If you think I'm a hypocrite, let's go. If you think I'm a racist, bring it on. But invariably, that's not the case. It's usually somebody who wants to, I don't know what these people want to do. Greg in Des Moines writes, Mike, from the reports I've seen regarding the Saudis and oil and weaponry, from the reports that I've seen, the Saudis won't be using the weapons purchased from Senator Schumer anyway. They don't do work. They hire it out. Do you think Blackwater and Halliburton would take contracts from the Saudis? A marriage made in heaven or wherever Jesus H. Christ lives. Yeah, of course they would. Greg in Des Moines, P.S., there was a very large roundup of undocumented workers in Pottsville, Iowa, in Postville, Iowa. The company is a very large kosher meat packing plant owned by Orthodox Jews. Ah, money and religion. It's great. I read that story. Like 200 or 300 undocumented workers working in the largest kosher meat packing house in America, and it has a great reputation for its products to the extent that so many shops in the UK and the European Union that want kosher meat from America buy from this company, and they had 200 or 300 undocumented workers, which, you know, I frankly don't. I think it's great that they hire anybody who wants a job, unless they're exploiting them. I mean, undocumented workers, of course, have to put up with whatever's handed to them. I don't care if the owners are Jewish, Catholic, Hindu, or animist. I don't care. Or atheist. It doesn't make any difference. Couldn't care less about the religious background or lack of that background with the owners. The owners are trying to make a profit. The workers are trying to make some money. If the owners are righteous, they won't rip off the workers. If the workers do get ripped off, they have absolutely zero recourse. They can't join a union. They can't complain to the local National Labor Relations Board office. They can't go on strike. All they can do is continue to work no matter what happens. Or they can leave. But the reason they're here to begin with is because of jobs. And the reason they're here for jobs is because the jobs in Mexico were destroyed by NAFTA and are now in China, where they're also being exported from China into Vietnam, for Christ's sake. You remember Vietnam, don't you? Huh? Truth Seeker? You do? Good for you. That's where American jobs are now. And it just doesn't stop. This is what happens when your country becomes a corporate state. This is what happens. The wars are determined by the corporations. The jobs are determined by the corporations. The locations of the jobs. The wages. The destruction of unions. The attitude toward women workers, as evidenced by the recent Supreme Court ruling that said a woman who waited more than 180 days to file a complaint because she wasn't paid as much as a man can kiss their robed asses. They don't care. She can't collect any money. No. Discrimination against women? Tough. This is what you get in a corporate state, and the corporations will do everything in their power to continue to fund religions that tell the workers, accept your lot, you'll get your reward in heaven. Some of you people wonder why I don't believe in this garbage. Well, maybe you don't. We got now, we're about to take a break. All right, when we come back, we'll pick up on the phone calls. So, stick around, all right? This is Nova M Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. I'm not as pissed off as I sound tonight. I really am not. I had a great day today. I really did. It's a beautiful day here in Atlanta. Kind of cloudy and rainy. I got in a wreck in my pickup truck. Just no big deal. Just the pickup truck. Nobody was hurt. I was busy trying to reload my pistol while I was driving. Never should have done that. Dropped a couple of the cartridges on the seat. Reached for them, and the next, well, never mind.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Billy is calling from Atlanta, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Billy.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
Yeah, I was just listening to you. He's never done a moment on your show.
No, they won't leave me alone.
But do people realize... if you elect these people, especially these Democrats, they're talking about voting for McCain, and they are going to attack Iran if he get in office, him and Lieberman, because Lieberman has been advocating that a long time.
Right.
The Iranian is going to respond by shutting down the Strait of Hormuz. No Saudi oil is moving. The Western economies over there is going to collapse. We import most of all our everything now. So it's going to affect our economy to the point that we will probably be end up paying $15 or $20 a gallon. And I hope these people realize this here.
The oil companies are all for that. They love it.
Sure, they'll be making money.
It is the oil companies that have backed completely this murderous Bush crime family. The oil companies... are making so much money from the blood of dead Americans, the blood of dead Iraqis. They might as well be pumping blood. And they don't care. They want more of it. Oil companies for the past 150 years have been involved in seeing that the United States got involved in imperial wars around the planet. I think most people who can think understand that oil companies are more than responsible for the degradation of our environment with their chemicals. They are responsible for death on a scale that, if most people thought about it, would be staggering, just staggering. Once the oil companies are demolished and gotten rid of, because we finally wake up and realize we can't keep using fossil fuel, this planet will be so much better off. If for no other reason, because these filthy capitalist pigs are gone.
Mike, with McCain, now everyone calls him a hero. I was in Vietnam in 69. But yet and still, now he was an admiral's son when he was a POW, and his arm was injured when he ejected.
Right.
Now, I never hear other POWs come out and support him in groups and stuff like this here, because by being an admiral's son, then the North Vietnamese treated him with kid gloves, because this was a valuable person to them, so they couldn't mistreat him. And I just don't understand. I'm going to get up there if I say this here. If you've been tortured and went through all this, how can you agree to something like what Bush had as far as Guantanamo and that?
Billy, I don't know. To me, John McCain is very strange man. If he does become president because of another stolen election, or because of dumbass Democrats who vote for him in a fit of pique because their little candidate didn't get the nomination, if that happens, we are going to have a certifiable insane person in charge of U.S. foreign policy, and I don't know what will stop him, because the Democratic Congress is totally emasculated. They are not paying attention. They couldn't care less. So, Billy, I see bad times ahead, man. I just do. As far as McCain's inner workings, I don't know. I've heard several versions of the story of his imprisonment in the so-called Hanoi Hilton. As far as the way his arms are screwed up, I've heard it was because he was tortured that way. But the point you make is correct. His father was the head honcho of all U.S. naval forces in the Pacific, which included the wars in Indochina that Johnson and Nixon and Ford kept going all those years. I don't know about McCain. All I know is that he is surrounded by certified mass killers who should be on trial, not just for treason against this country, but for international war crimes. And they are going to, if he is elected president, they will feed into his insanity to a degree that would make George Bush look like a pacifist liberal. I do know that about McCain. That hair trigger temper of his is legendary. Naz is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic, 92.1. Hey, Naz.
Mike.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. I mean, I've been listening to your program for a long time, and I've never thought I would even listen to a radio talk show ever in my life until I was sending a CD, and then I came across you. And
well,
I've been listening to your show ever since then.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you found the program. I'm glad you're
there. Yeah, and I agree with a lot of things, almost 99% of everything that you say. And I, as far as my understanding goes, I am young, and I wasn't around when, you know, Bob Kennedy was campaigning or anything. But through the research I've done on politics, I understand. I believe Bob Kennedy was a true progressive. And then I think we all kind of know who really run this country. It's not the people, and it's not the politicians. We know who run this country. And then I.
Are you there, Naz? He's got one of those phones like our guy from Memphis. All right, Naz, we'll talk again. Sorry, lost the connection. What was the reverend from Memphis he used to call? Oh my God, how quickly they forget. Scott, Reverend Sky Blue, Brother Sky Blue, and his cell phone used to go out. All the time. Oh, God. Vikram is calling from Santa Clara, California. Vikram, welcome to the program.
Oh, good evening, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing good. Good, Mike.
Good.
Now, my comment is, I think you're in a bit of denial.
You do?
Yes, because I believe that the fundamental basis of atheism is that it's a European-derived philosophy, and it is based on the idea that it has as a premise that Europeans seem to know more than people of traditional cultures about how the world should be explained. And I think that you're buying into that.
You know what I think, Vikram? I think your attempt to sound like a Hindu is really cheesy. If that's what you're trying to sound like, this is, you know, the same caller. What, are you crazy? Don't you know we have phone ID? We just thought we'd put you on to see what the hell you were going to say. Now go away. that was It was the same guy. I just wanted to hear how far he would go. Mike,
you know, Mike, I still want to talk about the imperialists. Do you realize you're imperialists? You think you're atheist, but no, you're racist. You're racist.
Now, tell me, isn't a racist by definition some European-derived human being who tries to make himself sound like...
I want to talk about the Buntu tribe.
About some other... Oh, never mind. Things are just kind of melting down tonight.
That was the funniest thing I think that's happened in a long time.
Vikram. Yeah.
I wish they'd all call up with fake names and accents.
Vikram, or John, or Shagnasty, or whatever your name is, just understand something. You know, we do log in the phone calls. We do have your number, and it's very easy to look at the call log for the evening so far. And the computer or the program that we use kicks up a number if it comes up more than once. And the reason for that is we used to have something called a 3-day rule in talk radio where you weren't supposed to call except maybe every 3 days. We've kind of done away with that. But still, if I hang up on somebody because they are just an unreconstructed jackass, and then that person calls back and tries to sound as if he has a Hindu accent, your number comes up, you idiot.
Hello, Mike. You are a racist.
So is your mama. Mike is calling from El Paso, Texas, listening on XM. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You sound scary. What's up?
Well, no. I've got a background of law enforcement, and I've in the past worked within the folds of the intelligence community, and I just wanted to call and commend you for your astute observation and what you're saying about Hillary, because you're right on. Except I'd have to add a little bit to it, and that would have to be that she... I mean, it doesn't take a mathematical genius of any kind to say that this woman is nothing but power-hungry, and she's an elitist, and she definitely wants to step on anybody she has to in order to get to that White House.
Well, I think that's very clear, Mike. Of course, a lot of people who are... Well, I can't say a lot of people. I know some people that aspire to be president of the United States do it for righteous reasons or altruistic reasons. And then you have some that do it simply from a power mad point of view. And I think you're right where it concerns Hillary Clinton. The lust that she displays, you know, that's one of the seven deadly sins, lust. And the lust that she displays to be president is... It's kind of grim to watch. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered, answered your phone calls, Billy Foster, our technical director, Ben Birch, the podcast manager for Nova M, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf and Sharon Gordy, who, among the three of them, contribute an awful lot to this program. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. If I haven't mentioned it lately, become a Nova M founding member if the spirit moves you. You get free downloads and podcasts when you want them. And don't forget, go to the all-new, exciting mind-boggling MikeMalloy.com website, thanks to our resident computer genius, Billy Foster. MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. There's all kinds of stuff there. Sam is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hey, Sam, welcome to the program.
Yeah, am I on?
You are.
Mike,
Sam.
Good to hear you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to follow up on your previous caller. He was talking about McCain and being tortured in Vietnam.
Yes, yes.
And it never occurred to me that it's possible that might be subject to some questioning. Following up on Karl Rove's playbook with regard to people's entitlements and their own past histories, is that something that really did get documented? And can we follow up on that and pursue his medical records and really find out what's going on in this guy's brain if he's going to be president of the United States?
Well, it would be interesting to, at the very least, have those who want to be president of the United States, the serious candidates, after we've gone through the primary system, when it's finally down to, maybe just the Republican nominee and the Democratic nominee, although that might not be quite fair, make it the last two standing on each side of the aisle, the last two Democrats, last two Republicans who want to be president, and then give them the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, the MMPI,
right,
and let it be evaluated by an independent panel of psychiatrists and or psychologists who could take a look at how the candidates responded in that inventory and come up with a pretty damn good psychological profile of what they're about. And then let the people decide, do you want this one? This one will murder at the drop of a hat. He or she will commit murder. This one will lie through his teeth. This one has the potential of starting World War last. I think we ought to know that, shouldn't we? They get physicals. Why not mentals?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's resisted inquiries into this.
He gets pissed off when it's brought up, which is usually the first sign that you're scratching a surface, just like those who say pedophiles are terrible people and we ought to pass laws against them. And, by the way, all that child porn on my computer is because I'm doing research on the subject.
Right.
It's so easy, I think, to find a hypocrite.
This is his Achilles heel. I am so sure of it. And it needs to be the rock that should be uncovered under that, piece of whatever he is walking around.
I hear you.
So I look forward to that time when it's all exposed, along with his wife's tax records and all that.
Well, the latest, we're not going to get to it tonight, but apparently this was reported by the Associated Press late this evening. It'll be in the papers tomorrow. Cindy McCain and her husband, of course, has been a critic of the violence in Sudan. Cindy McCain has just sold off more than $2 million in mutual funds whose holdings include companies that do business in Sudan. The sale came today, Wednesday. It's still Wednesday here on the East Coast. After the Associated Press started questioning the investments Cindy McCain will not reveal her tax returns. Now we know why.
Got it.
So McCain is such a typical Republican. He wants war, death, destruction. He's a sneak, a liar, and essentially a coward. And that is a typical Republican politician. Thanks, Sam. I appreciate you checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Take care. Gordon, Oklahoma, writes in, Mike, regarding rationality, the guy who tried to pretend like he was a Hindu. Mike, the last time I checked the core premises of rationality, which is based on reason and reality function, which is based on reason and reality, the core premises function the same in India as in Indiana. This is not racism or regional superiority. When those in or from India or China reject the Abrahamic religions, I would agree with those from India or China. And when the Abrahamic religions return the favor of declaring the Eastern religion as false, I also would agree. It's equal opportunity. Besides, religion is not a race. Gordon.
Yeah.
I just want to know, Mike, why you don't like Hillary. No, no, no. Tell me. Tell me why you don't like Hillary. I love Hillary.
Oh, no. Don't do that when we go off the air, okay? Don't. Or you're going to...
That has to be one of the funniest things that's happened on this show in a long time.
I know. Oh, well. Listen, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Is it time to go? We have 4 seconds to... Okay, good. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I do appreciate it. I really do. Take care. Okay? Take care. I'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.